Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Jason. Just as we start, I'm going to show you a video clip that you probably thought you'd seen for the last time ever, but surprise, you're going to see it again. So, Harry, if you could just play You Know What.
All my little plans and schemes, lost like some forgotten dream. Seems like all I really was doing was waiting for you. Just like little girls and boys playing with their little toys. Seems like all we really would do was waiting for love. Don't need to be alone. Don't need to be alone. It's real love. It's real.
Okay, thank you. Yes, it's Monty the Penguin again. And if anybody came to our carol service and is wondering, Holland Road is not on commission. We're not earning extra money for John Lewis. It's just a really good advert. Monty the Penguin. And I just want to ask you, have you ever felt like Monty? Have you ever felt that need for connection, for relationship, the need to love and be loved? And not just in a romantic way, but with friendship and with your family. I've definitely felt like that. I remember being at school and often feeling on the outside of friendship groups and just having that real deep longing for deep friendship. I really wanted to love and be loved. Have you felt like that? Or conversely, there's also, isn't there, that sense of deep joy when we are connecting with our family and friends, which hopefully many of us have done over Christmas. And you saw it in that advert as well, in Monty's friendship with Sam. Have you felt that? Well, it seems that people, and apparently penguins, simply don't want to be alone. And that's because we were made for relationships. We were made for love. And yet it isn't straightforward, is it? Because we don't get to see what happens next in Monty's story. But actually, the truth is relationships in all their forms are hard. And actually, even if you had a lovely time over Christmas with your friends and family, which I hope you did, there were probably various squabbles and personality clashes. And actually, for some of you, there would have probably been more pain than joy over the holidays. Because people mess up. We hurt each other. And when we do, we feel it really deeply because we're made for relationships. So what can we do? We have this deep fundamental need to love and to be loved. But it's actually very hard to get it right. And I want to suggest that actually when it comes to love and getting it right, the place that we need to go is here, is the Bible. Because the Bible actually has quite a lot to say about love, and not just general warm, fuzzy feelings of everything's okay, Jesus loves you, although he does. But there are raw stories of love between brothers, between friends, parents and children, and even romantic relationships. There is, as I'm sure many of you know, a whole book of the Bible about how great sex is in its proper context. So could it actually be that the Bible has something to say to us in 2015 about this love thing that we need so much? Well, listen to this amazing passage in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, which I think is going to come up on the screen for you. So, It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." So what did it say right at the start? It said, love comes from God. Anyone who loves knows God. So straight away there's this idea that our ability to love and our ability to have these healthy relationships that we so need is somehow dependent on our relationship with God. Well, I want to suggest that not only is this true, but that it's actually absolutely key to our lives, that God himself is the source of all love and is also our perfect model for how to love. And we're going to hopefully see this by unpacking some more of this passage that I've just read. So before we go on, I'm just going to pray, because this is, it's a big topic and it's quite hard and it's very personal for, well, everyone. So I'm just going to pray that God would help me to be really clear and help us to understand what he might be saying to us through this. So Father, thank you for these amazing words. Thank you that you are love. And I pray that you just help us to understand tonight a little bit more of who you are and what that love means for our lives. Amen. Okay, so it said, anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. It sounds a little bit odd, doesn't it? A bit grammatically strange, in fact. It would make more sense to us to say God is loving, or even God is lovely or lovable. But God is love, is what it says. But how is it possible for God to be love? It comes down to the mysterious, mind-bending, but absolutely fundamental part of God's nature, which is that he is a Trinitarian God. That means he is one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And before any of us came into the picture, before the creation of the world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed in an eternal, mutual, perfectly loving relationship. And Jesus revealed this beautifully when he prayed in John 17, Father, you have loved me before the creation of the world. Because the beautiful truth is that God is love because he's always been loving within himself throughout eternity and always will be. Love isn't a mood that God has sometimes. It's fundamental to his being. If it isn't, then he's not the Christian God. We come into this picture as an overflow of that love. Created to have a relationship with God. In fact, created to share in that relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what's more, God created us for relationships with each other as well. So right at the start in Genesis, God says, let us being the Trinity, make mankind in our image, in our likeness. That means that we're supposed to be like miniature reflections of him. And as he, as the Trinity, as a relational God, we are made to be relational people. That's why after God creates the first person, Adam, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. And this is massively significant because in the whole of the creation story so far, it's just been God saying, it's good, stars, it's good, fish, good. But for the first time in history, God says, no, that's not good. Because they're made to reflect our character, and that's based on relationship. So the God creates Eve to go with Adam. And that's why we have this deep longing for relationship, for love. It's why loneliness is one of the biggest tragedies of human life, because it's just not meant to be that way. We are relational people made in the image of a relational God. So God is love. And can you see how then maybe he could be quite crucial in this whole love and relationships thing. And these difficulties that we have, maybe he does come into the picture somehow. So first let's look at the idea of God as being our model of how love should be. Yes, sorry. Because it does actually make sense, doesn't it? That if God is love, then surely how he loves must be the best, most authentic type of love that there is. And what he says about love must be reliable. the final word, the true word on love. So what is God's expert love like then? Well, I think our passage shows us two things. I think it shows us that God's expert love is faithful and that it's sacrificial. So let me read the part of that passage again, just from verse 9. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So as you look at the story of the Bible stretched out over generations, the story of God's relationship with his people, one of the defining characteristics of God's expert love is faithfulness. You can't really miss it. Time and again, over the pages of Scripture, God's people mess up. They were created to be in a relationship with him. They know that. They've even made an agreement with him to be in that relationship, but they let him down over and over again, doing things that really hurt him. And in fact, their relationship is likened to that of a husband and a wife, where the wife is just repeatedly cheating on the husband again and again. And in that situation, we would expect that the husband eventually would just give up and walk away. But does God throw up his hands and say, that's it, I'm done? No, he doesn't. In Hosea, they've got this amazing heart cry of God where he goes, how can I give you up? How can I let you go? My heart is torn within me. My compassion overflows. His heart is broken, but his love's too great to just walk away. His love is faithful even when their love fails. And he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. It's in Jeremiah 31. His relationship with his people is based on a covenant. And this is really key. So a covenant, it's like a contract in the sense that two or more parties agree to certain terms. But it's different because there are no conditions or loopholes or get-out clauses. So in a contract, if one person breaks the conditions, then the other person is free to screw up the contract, throw it in the bin, and move on. So if you stop paying your phone bill, then Orange or Vodafone or whoever you've signed a contract with is no longer obliged to provide you with a phone service, and you can be sure that they won't. But in a covenant, you are committing to hold the agreement whether or not the other person lives up to their end of the bargain. Now, this doesn't make sense to us in our culture. How bizarre would that be if Orange were like, no, it's fine, we'll keep giving you a phone service, you don't have to pay us because we've agreed. That's because everything in our society is about contracts and not covenants. We're not a society that values faithfulness. We're a society that values our own personal happiness and getting what is owed to us, which actually is a lifestyle that ironically robs us of happiness anyway. But let me show you a video that shows the power of covenant love. Is that?
But I don't count it a burden, whatever, to have to care for her. I need to do everything. From the moment she gets up to the moment she goes to bed, I do absolutely everything. Clean her teeth, shower, dress, everything. But it's a privilege. I count it a great privilege to care for this one that I've loved all of these years and continue to love. This is the year where we'll celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. Our stories have been a lovely story. I first saw her when she was 8 years old and her brother became my best friend. We grew up together, and as we grew up, yeah, she was there. And I knew that she used to stare at me when I was playing footy with a brother and another friend, and when we used to ride bikes, and she kept staring at me, but I wasn't interested. I was 17, she was 16, I saw her dolled up, dressed up, and she had an A-line dress on, and boom, it was gone. She was the one for me then, absolutely. Dating, I used to ride my bike from where I lived to where she was, and that was about 5 kilometres on a Saturday afternoon, because it was the only chance we had to get together. And it was hair wash day for her, and she used a special cream in her hair for a shampoo, and I can still smell it because that smell was so particular, so nice. It was just absolutely special. We had a bike. I used to ride everywhere on my bike, and then Glad had a bike as well, and we put a baby chair on the front of her bike, and so we carried our babies around on the bike with her as well. So, yeah, bike's been part of our lives, and I guess that has something to do with us now. Around about 2004-05, I began to notice that there were things going wrong. She was finally diagnosed with the horrible disease of Alzheimer's. Having lived overseas, I knew that with a bike you can do lots of things. So I had a bike made, a bike chair made. We take it to the beach and ride along beside the beach. And as we do that, we see lots of people. A lot of people come talk to us because it's a unique thing. Nobody else has got a bike chair quite like that one. I am determined to care for her every need, every need. You see, God has loved us so unconditionally. And I understand that God has put his love in my heart. And because I realize how much God has loved me, that's how I too can love my lovely wife. She has done so much for me over all of these years. Now she can't, but I can, and I can return her love. And it's a love that, well, to me, means I can do everything for her. She's my princess, I'm her William, and I wouldn't have it any other way. Would you have it any other way? No, not at all. We love each other.
Isn't that beautiful? If Bill saw, so they were Bill and Glad, just in case you missed their names, if Bill saw marriage as a contract, as many people in the world do, he would be well within his rights to abandon Glad, because she can't meet his needs anymore. If it were a contract, she would have broken her end of the deal. But no, Bill, like God, sees marriage as a covenant to have and to hold, in sickness and health, till death do us part. It's not easy, but Bill is faithful to Glad. And this is what God is like with us. This is real love, it said in the verse. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. His love is faithful, even when ours is not. He's promised to love us, sustain us, save us, guide us, and he will. He keeps his promises. Sometimes we can worry that our friends won't like us anymore if we stop making them laugh. Or we can worry that we haven't done enough to hold on to our parents' love and affection. Maybe we've seen people walk out on relationships when things get tough. We've seen maybe friendships fall apart or marriages breaking down. We don't have to worry about this with God. He is never going to wake up one morning and decide that he's had enough of you or that you haven't done enough for him. And no matter how many times you mess up, he will never say, well, I don't have to love you anymore, and walk away. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And this has been my experience in the times in my life when I've struggled to love God the way I should. He just faithfully waits for me, constantly loving me with that everlasting love, constantly drawing me with that unfailing kindness, waiting for me to come back to him. And I'm sure many people here would say the same, which is why that song that we sing is so powerful. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. He is love. And his love is faithful. The second thing that we see about God's expert love is that it's sacrificial. We don't really like that word, sacrifice, because it means there's a cost to us. And in our culture, relationships aren't supposed to be costly. They're just supposed to make us happy. But remember, in 1 John 4, it says, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is real love. So the greatest expression of love is in sacrifice. I wonder, does that surprise you? Because I think sometimes our culture tells us that sex is the greatest expression of love, or even giving people quality time is the greatest expression of love. And both are wonderful, God-given expressions of love. But here we see the Bible saying, sacrifice is the greatest expression of love. And so God expresses his love for us in his son Jesus dying on the cross, so that our failures, our unfaithfulness, our sin are dealt with. And it was costly. Jesus had to endure not only a horrific death, but also the consequences of all our mess-ups and failures. And the rejection that we deserved was instead placed squarely on his shoulders, That's why he cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the cry of a son who has been loved for all eternity, separated from his father. And he did it for us, so that we could have a restored relationship with God. So, as the passage says, God showed his love for us through sacrifice, and this is real love. He didn't hold anything back, not even his son. Think of Bill and Glad. He's made huge sacrifices for her, but what a beautiful love. It's a love that says, I'm going to give of myself for you. I'm going to put you first, seek to meet your needs first. He doesn't hold anything back from her. And it's actually an amazing example of sacrifice and faithfulness working together. And did you see their joy? In their sacrifice, it was great joy, much greater joy than choosing to walk away when things are difficult. Did you see the little tiara on her bicycle helmet? So two things we see in the love of God, the love expert, is that real authentic love is faithful, it doesn't walk away, and it involves sacrifice. It holds nothing back. So here's our challenge. How can we love like that? How do we find the strength to love our friends, our family, boyfriends, girlfriends, spouses? Well, I don't know if you remember what Bill said at the end of that video. He said, you see, God has loved us so unconditionally. And I understand that God has put his love in my heart. And because I realize how much God has loved me, that's how I too can love my lovely wife. Love comes from God. It brings us back to what I said earlier. God is not just the expert on love. He's the source of love. God is love. We're only able to love others insofar as we experience and understand his love for us. As it says in 1 John 4 verse 19, we love each other because he loved us first. So I've got a little illustration to help us with this. I need someone to help me who doesn't mind. They might get a little bit wet. Sophie? Sorry, are there anyone sat on the floor so you stood out? Sorry. Let's encourage Sophie. Please don't fall over. Right. Okay. There's two cups for you. So if you hold them up. Now, can you pour some love from that one into that one? Why aren't you doing it? What's wrong? What's wrong with it?
There's nothing in it.
There's nothing in it? Oh, okay. There's nothing in it. Right. This is where the wet bit comes in, but it should be okay. So actually, if you now hold the jug. Right, got it. Now, can you lift high enough? Can you pour from this? Imagine that this is actually more like a tap, like a bottomless source rather than a jug, if that's okay. Right. Now, if you pour into this glass, and we'll see what happens. Keep going. What's going crazy? Wait, okay, you can stop now. Great, thank you. A round of applause for Sophie, please. Okay, so now you can see they're both full. I'm going to put these down. Okay. So the kind of love that Bill shows Glad is hard. It's hard to love people faithfully and sacrificially, but he's able to do it because he's seen and experienced God's authentic, faithful love for him and for us. He's allowed God's love to pour into him and to overflow into Glad's life. And it's just like those glasses. An empty cup can't pour into an empty cup. But when that cup is receiving from the greater source, it overflows into the other cup and fills the other cup as well. So this is how we need to love. So you see, in this whole area of love and relationships, with this need that we have to love and be loved, the primary relationship in our lives is actually with God. That is the most important thing. If we get that right, it affects all our other relationships. Now, as Jason said, we're at the start of a new series on love and relationships. It's going to be called Love Actually. Yes. And over the next few months, we're hopefully going to be addressing some of the questions that you might have. It might be to do with friendships, like, What do I do when my friendship group has a split? It might be family. Like, do I have to love my little brother? And how on earth would I do that? It might be romantic relationships. How do I find the one? How do I know if I love someone? Can I be single and be happy? Or you might be thinking about sex and questions like, how far is too far? Or whether you're a Christian or not here today, these questions are all relevant. But if you are a Christian here, you might also be thinking, how can I live out my relationships in a way that honors God? Well, hopefully, as we go through, we'll find some answers. We'll find that real love isn't mushy. It's not just about feelings and a penguin going like this. It's about promises and faithfulness. And hopefully, we'll see that it's when we look to God's example of faithfulness and sacrifice, and when we look to him as the source of it all, that's when we find real love and real relationships. But for tonight, as we close, I just want to ask you about that most important relationship. How is your relationship with the one who is love? The one who won't walk out on you, who won't hold anything back from you because actually he's already given it all. The one who made the ultimate sacrifice on the cross so that we could have a relationship with him. Are you allowing his love to freely flow into you so that you can love others? You were made for relationships, and this one above all. So I'm going to ask the band to come up, and we're going to just spend some time in God's presence. We're going to spend time worshipping him. We believe that we have a God who wants to meet with us, and that this message of love comes from his heart. So if you want to start playing, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for us. First, I'm actually going to pray for anyone here tonight who hasn't stepped into that relationship for themselves, because tonight is a great opportunity to do that, to just come and say, Jesus, I want this relationship with you, this amazing relationship with the one who is love. So I'm going to pray first for that group of people. Father, thank you that you are love. And Lord, we can barely even understand what that means, but we know that it's wonderful. And so, Lord, I just want to pray for anyone here tonight who has never stepped into that relationship, but feels tonight that they want to. And if that's you, if you just want to echo these words in your heart as I pray them. Father, thank you for the love that was shown to me on the cross. Thank you that you did everything so that I could have a relationship with you. I'm sorry for the times that I've messed up, for the times that I've looked for other things rather than you. Well, I receive your forgiveness here and now. Would you come into my life, make me new, and help me to follow you